Today's shiur is a Masechet Chul on Daf Memtes. We will begin on the last line of Daf Memches Amid Beis, four words from the end of the line with the words Umayshna. At the end of yesterday's shiur, Rav Ashi told us that if a needle was found protruding from the liver, and it's not the normal derech for a needle to be in the liver, and there is really no direct route either from the esophagus, the veshet, into the liver, or from the kana, the trachea, into the liver. So we have to do some detective work to see the most plausible route that this needle could have taken. And Rav Ashi tells us that it depends then which side of the needle was protruding from the liver. If the sharp point protrudes, then the animal is kosher, because then I say that the needle was ingested through the trachea into the vena cava vein and then into the liver, piercing the liver with its sharp end and coming to rest embedded in the liver as it was exiting the liver. And in this way, this route, nothing was punctured along the way which would make it a trepha. If, however, the head of this thick needle, which is blunt, and Rav Ashi goes with the premise that the blunt end, the head of the needle, is not able to pierce and penetrate. So if the blunt end is protruding, then we say the needle was entering the liver after being swallowed normally. It went through the veshet, the esophagus, the digestive tract, making a puncture in the veshet to enter the liver, where it stopped after penetrating the liver. In this scenario, the animal is treif, because the digestive tract or the intestine is punctured. Now, in either of these scenarios, the liver is not treif because it itself is punctured, because, as we've learned before, the kaveh, the liver, is only treif if it's totally removed from the animal. If there's even a slight amount of liver left, the animal is not treif. And Rav Ashi, again, to stress, is working with the premise that the head, the blunt part of the needle, cannot penetrate. It's only the point, the sharp point, that is able to penetrate. And therefore, depending on to which side the needle is protruding, whether the blunt head is to the outside, then it would be treif because it was entering through the veshet into the liver, or the blunt side was inside the liver and it was the sharp end that was protruding, then we say it went through the trachea route and then the animal would be kosher. And now the Gemara is asking, Umayshna, why is it different in the following halacha we have learned? Why is it different mimachat from a needle? Shenimtza ba'ovi beis hakoseh, as we turn to daf mem tesamet aleph, if we found a needle in the walls of the Beis HaKoseh. And on this stuff, we're going to be speaking about the four stomachs of the, let's say, for example, the cow. And we're going to mention two of them now, and we'll get into the other two later on in the shiur. The four stomachs of the cow are the keres, which is the rumen, or also known as the pouch, as well as the Beis HaKoseh, the reticulum, and those are the two that we'll discuss right now, and the other two are the hemsis, the omasum, and the cava, the abomasum. Now, as far as the Beis HaKoseh is concerned, it is the first stomach coming at the end of the aveshet. It does not break down the food, but it helps in the maligerin, the regurgitation process, where the grass, for example, that the cow was eating with its front eight teeth, now, when it's regurgitated through the help of the Beis HaKoseh back to the mouth, it is then chewed again with the molars in the back of the mouth. This stomach is called the Beis HaKoseh because the inner lining of the stomach resembles a Beis HaKoseh, meaning a place of cups. It has the appearance of cups. So, if a needle was found in the walls of the Beis HaKoseh, and Rashi tells us, the top Rashi, Besof HaKeres, The Beis HaKosas is found at the end of the Keres Shekorim Pancha. This is what we mentioned before, the Keres, one of its name is Paunch, similar to the Old French that Rashi brings here. Yesh Boi She'asi Kekoiva. It is made in that Beis HaKosas at the end of the Keres. The Beis HaKosas has a section, according to Rashi, that is helmet shaped bulge there, usfas doifnai kfula shtei defanis adukim zubezu, and the edge of the wall of the Beis HaKosas is doubled into two walls which are connected one to another, vishuman mechabram, and there's fat that is mechabra the two walls together. Now Rashi Shita here and elsewhere in Shas is that the bulge that we're talking about in the Beis HaKosas, which has these two walls, is at the edge, the end of the Beis HaKosas, the Sfas, as Rashi says here. However, the sheet of the Meiri and other Meforshim is that actually the entire reticulum, the entire Beis HaKosas, has these two doubled walls. But either way, the Machat was found in the Beis HaKosas at the place where it has these two walls. And now the question is, did this needle make the animal treif? So the halacha is, if the needle was found mitzad echad, if it was found on one side, one wall of the Beis HaKosas, then it's kshera. It didn't penetrate both walls. It's only when it penetrates both walls. As Rashi says, because if it only penetrated one wall, shechaverta magina aleha, the fourth line of Rashi here. It's kosher because the other wall protected, it didn't make a hole through and through both walls, and therefore the animal is not treifa, it remains kosher. However, Mishneh Tzadin, if it penetrated both walls, then it's treifa. Says the Gemara, why don't we say, and we'll speak out the Gemara before we see it inside, as Rashi explains here in Divrei Maskil treifa, why don't we say when it's only in Tzad Echad, it's only in one side of the two walls and not both, that it should also depend on which way the needle is pointed. Is the sharp point of the needle in the wall, in that one wall, or is the blunt head of the needle, which does not penetrate, in that one wall? Because if we use Rav Ashi's premise that the head of the needle is not sharp enough to penetrate, then we have to be again a detective, as we were in the case of the liver, which side it's pointed and how it entered into this wall of the Beis HaKosas. If the sharp end is in the wall, that one wall of the Beis HaKosas, then we can easily say that it came through the trachea and it went into the vena cava, and from there it entered into the Beis HaKosas and it got stuck, that sharp end got stuck in the first wall of the Beis HaKosas and it's kosher. However, if the blunt end was sticking in the Beis HaKosas, and the blunt end can't penetrate the Beis HaKosas, even the one wall, as Rav Ashi just told us by the case of the liver, so I'll say that you know how it entered. It went through the veshet, the esophagus, then it exited at some point, Rashi says, either in the esophagus, or in the keres, or in the intestines, the dakin. It went into the cavity of the abdominal cavity of the cow, and then it entered into the Beis HaKosas. It went through both walls, and it almost exited both walls completely, and at the last moment, the head got stuck, and that did not exit the both walls of the Beis HaKosas. That would be the only logical way, if we go with Rav Ashi's premise that the head of the needle cannot penetrate, and here we found that it did penetrate, it must be it was coming from the outside, from the veshet. It exited the veshet and then re-entered through the Beis HaKosas and almost went through both walls of the Beis HaKosas. At the last moment, the head of the needle was remaining stuck in the first wall of the Beis HaKosas. Even though I can't now find where that entry hole is through both walls, that's what I'll have to say. We don't say that. Now let's see the Gemara inside. V'loy amrin and lechse, let us see, ikupel abar, ikupel agav, is the head of the needle facing towards the outside, or is it facing towards the inside? And if the head will be facing towards the outside. If it's embedded towards the outside, then it's treif because it went through the esophagus. But if it's towards the inside, and what is into the doifnei hakoisel of the base hakoisel, the sharp end is embedded. So then it's exiting through the trachea into the vena cava into the base hakoisel. And then it'll be kosher. Why don't I make that distinction? Must be that this is a proof that even the blunt end is able to penetrate the wall, and therefore I say it doesn't matter whether the sharp end is in the wall or whether the blunt end is in the wall. In both cases, it must have come through the trachea into the vena cava and then into the base hakoisel. And so too, let's say the same thing by the liver. Why do you say that if the head of the liver, the head of the needle is protruding outside the liver, that it must be entering into the liver from the veshed and therefore it's treif? No, I'll say I have a rhyme from the base hakoisel halacha that the head of a needle is able to penetrate, and therefore in either scenario it should be kosher. If the sharp end of the point of the needle is stuck in the liver, if that's the one that's protruding and the head is inside the liver, then I'll say it came through the trachea. And even if the head of the liver is protruding to the outside and the sharp end is towards the inside, I'll say it's the head that penetrated. But it didn't come through the veshet. It came, in both cases, through the trachea into the vena cava, into the liver. I have a precedent from the base hakoisel. Answers the Gemara, no, there's a difference. Amri Hossam, over there by the base of Kaisis. Kiven de Ikka Oichlum Mashkim. Because as we mentioned before, all the food goes through the base of Kaisis and then it's regurgitated. So since it's full of Oichlum Mashkim, food and drink, Eima Oichlum Mashkim Dachkua. Over there you have another thing to be told on. You could say that really on its own merit, the head of the needle would not be able to penetrate the one wall. How do I find that it penetrated the wall? Because the food, the pressure of the food and the liquid that's in the base of koisis forced it into the wall. So then I say there's no difference which, since as Rashi points out, loichazina nekev, in the Rashi, oichlenu mashken dachkua, Rashi says, after all, I don't see a hole penetrating both walls. So now my detective work tells me that it makes more sense that it was ingested through the trachea, vena cava, into the base hakoisis. Doesn't matter which end is now stuck into the base hakoisis, the sharp end or the blunt end, because even the blunt end was pushed in with the pressure of the oichlenu mashken. Whereas by the liver, there is no oichlenu mashken. So then my detective work tells me that I have to make a distinction. If the sharp edge is pointed out, then it's kosher because it came through the trachea. And if the blunt end, the head of the needle is pointing outwards, and the blunt end without food and mashkin cannot penetrate anything, it must be entering the liver through the veshet, and then it is treif. And the halacha is that the only organ where we use the method of Rav Ashi to ascertain whether it's kosher or treif by looking at what side the kupa is, the head of the needle is, that is only by the liver, because there's no direct route from the mouth and the esophagus into the liver. It has to go through a circular route to get to the liver, and then we have to make a determination. Does it make more sense that it came through the esophagus than it'll be treif, or does it make more sense that it came through the corona, the trachea, and then it would be kosher? And that will depend on where I find the head of the needle, either on the inside or on the outside. Continues the Gemara, after there was this needle, dishtakach b'simfuna rav dekeavda, that it was found in the large blood vessel of the liver, which is referring to the vena cava. And the question is, how did it get there? So huna marbarei raviti torf. He paskened that it's treif because he holds that it must have entered through the esophagus, and then it made a hole in either the esophagus or the keres, the stomach, or the dakin, the intestines, and then it entered into the liver, and from the liver it went to the vena cava, and Rav Adar Bar Minyumi Machshir, he says that it's kosher, because he says that it must have gone through the trachea, and then into the vena cava. Also, Shalul Ravina, they went and asked the Shalat Ravina, Amar Lui, said to them, Shekila take lima, the garment, de trefoi, of the person who made it treif. Take the garment of Mar Brei Rav Idi, which means, as Rashi explains, that he had, in the Rashi Shkila Glima, he says, Shechilu leklovim. He had already paskin to make sure that nobody would eat this animal that was treif, that it should be fed to the dogs. And Ravina considered that an erroneous psak, and therefore, the person who lost the money when his animal was fed to the dogs, he has a right, al pi halacha, to get his money back from the rov who paskin false and made a hefsid to his property. And therefore, he said, take his garment, the garment of Huna Mar Bered Rav Idi, as payment for that which he made you treif. And so, this is the halacha, and even if a machat katan, as we learned in the Gemara before, Mem Chesam Beis, that by a machat katan it doesn't make a difference which direction the head of the needle is pointed, or whether it's a gadol, we don't make Rav Ashi's distinction between which way the head is pointed. We're not boidik that, and we say that the halacha is that certainly it did not come through the root of the veshet into the vena cava, because then it would have had to go through the liver, and then we say that for sure it would have got stuck in the liver, it would not have entered the vena cava through that way, it must have come the other way, and the other derech through the trachea would not go through any organs which would cause a trefa, and therefore the animal remains kosher. Continues the Gemara, Hahi Kishisa, there was this date pit, the Ishtakta B'mor, that was found in the gallbladder. Om Rav Ashi, said Rav Ashi, Ki Havinam Be Rav Kana, when we were learning by Rav Kana, Omar, he said, Ha Vadai Simpuna Nakat Vasoi. We have to say that this date pit took the root of, and it came through the vena cava. In other words, it came through the vascular route from the trachea to the vena cava, to the liver, and then into the gallbladder. Afal gav deloy kon nafka, and even though now we cannot get it back through the vena cava, we want to say it came through the vena cava and the trachea, and therefore it's kosher, it's not treif. But now that we're trying to get it out of the vena cava, it's too wide, we're unable to. So that would l'chayra indicate that it did not come through the vena cava? No, I say mirvul hu deravale. As Rashi explains, through the actions of the animal, it was shaking. So the movement of the behema caused it, pressured it to go down the vena cava slowly, took time, but over many days, the movements of the animal agitated and pressured it down through the vena cava, even though now we can't get it back to go out through the vena cava. Bahani mili de dikla. When do we say this heter? That's only by a date pit. Aval de zeis about an olive pit, which has a very sharp edge to it. Mivza baza. Then we're chayshish that it did pierce through the esophagus. It did go through the veshet and then into the gallbladder, taking that route, and the animal will be treif. So Rashi says that it will be treif according to the Man D'Omer that says that a machat in a lung that is found inside a lung is treif, because it came, were choshesh, through the veshet, which would make a treif. So, and so too, but in the case of the olive pit. So Toises, in the top Toises, Devar Maskel Avil points out, it'll come out that this is shaloik halacha, because we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, that a machat that was found in a reya is kosher. We don't say that it came through the veshet. And that's why Toises wants to say here that our Gemara will be going even according to halacha, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though he's makel by reya, but over here by the olive pit, which is very wide, and it will not come through the vascular route, through the trachea and the bronchular tubes. It will not come easily with revach, because it itself is wide. So then we're choshesh, even Rabbi Yochanan will be choshesh, that it didn't take the root of the trachea, but rather it took the root of the veshet, and lekuli alma, the halacha is, it will be treif. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shema Reya, why is the lung called a Reya? Shema'iru Esvei Nayim, because it enlightens the eyes. It is healthy for the eyes. Iboy, the Bnei Yeshiva had a question, L'achila, does that mean by eating the Reya? Oy, Al Yedei Saman, or does it mean by a process of mixing it with medicinal herbs? But not by itself. If you have medicinal herbs, as Rashi explains, then it adds to the medicinal herbs, but by itself, it will not strengthen the eyes. Toshima, Domrav, Huna, Bar Yehuda, Avza, a goose, bezuzah. You'll spend one zuz, a coin, on a goose, Vereya, but the lung of the goose, Vereya, Dida, its lung, Barbo, you'll have to pay four. Ve'isal, Kedatach, La'achila, and if you'll say that the medicinal benefit of eating a lung, it itself, without samonim, causes health for the eyes. So why is he paying four for the ray? A linket, let him buy the goose, bezuzah, for one zuz, velechel, and let him take out the ray and eat it. Why does he have to pay four? Elamite must be, el al yaday, samonim. It must be, you know why he's paying four? Because by eating the ray itself, it will not help him. It's only by mixing it with medicinal herbs. He has to pay for the herbs, and he also has to pay for the processing of the herbs by an expert. And then the ray with all these herbs together in the processed form, that's what you pay the four zuzim. So the raya from here is that it's together with the medicinal herbs. Before we go on, I just want to make sure to clarify something I believe I omitted, that in the case of the kashisa, the date pit, the reason why we go through the vascular route of the trachea into the vena cava and then into the liver and into the gallbladder, and not the other way, through the veshet, the esophagus, into the liver and into the gallbladder, is because we're dealing with a blunt end which cannot puncture. So the veshet, we say, the date pit would not be able to puncture. But through the soft liver, when we're going from the trachea to the vena cava to the liver and then into the gallbladder, that the blunt date pit would be able to go through. So it's more mistavra we take on that it must have gone through the trachea route and into the liver and then into the gallbladder, as opposed to going through the veshet and then into the gallbladder. Continues the Gemara. Inkva reya, let's say the lung got punctured. Hecha de mimashmasha yodei de tefcha, in a place where the hands of the butcher was groping. And the Tferes Yaakov from Rabbi Yaakov Gesundtai points out that there are some places we see from our Gemara where the hands of the butcher will go to the lung and some places where they won't go. So this is not speaking about the bedika sapnim, where the bodek checks on the inside and he checks the lung all over. There's no part that he doesn't check, but he does it in a way that he knows for sure that he is not causing any nekev, any cut, any puncture to the lung. However, here we're speaking about where the shochet, the butcher, handled the lung in such a way where he could make a nekev. And what is that way? Says Rashi, the second wide line in the middle of the Rashi, Ani shamati, I heard that it's speaking about in the upper part of the lung, where it's compressed, and there, when the butcher puts his fingers, and it's a very narrow place, through his nails, he can tear it and cause a puncture. And Rashi then adds, Unkumedumandi, I think, that it's not necessarily only in this tight place, but in any situation where we could be tola, we could say that how did this nekev come? Through the action of the butcher. For example, he was trying to separate the lung from the walls of the animal and he used a knife, or he grabbed a hold of the raya with strength and yanked it out, and maybe that caused the nekev. Whatever action of the butcher could have caused the nekev, that is the question of our Gemara. Talinin or loy talinin? Do we say that the nekev came about as a result of what the tabach, the butcher, did? Do we attribute it to his action, or we don't attribute it to his action? We say that it must be a nekev without the action of the butcher after the shechita, but rather it was a nekev before the shechita, and therefore the animal will be treifa. What is the halacha? Our girsi is Rav Ada Bar Nosson. The Masoras HaShas tells us in Ois Beis that it should be Rav Acha Bar Nosson, and we'll soon see that Rashi agrees with this in a few moments. Rav Acho bar Nosson Omar Talinan, he said, yes, we attribute it to something that happened after the Shechita, and therefore it's kosher. Rav Mori Omar Loi Talinan, we do not attribute it, and therefore it happened before the Shechita, and therefore it's treif. Vehilchasa, the Aloch is Lekula Talinan, that we do attribute it, and therefore it's kosher. Omar Rav Shmuel Bered Rav Avua, Rav Shmuel, the son of Rav Avua, said, Abba, my father, Rav Avua, Merei Shekali de Rafram Hava. He had a position at the great Gadol Rafram, who would have the Yarchi Kala in Nisan before Pesach and in Elul before Sukkot. And the people gathered, a large group, and they weren't all able to hear what Rafram had to say. So there were certain great Rabbonim who had the position of giving over to groups the words of Rafram. So my father, Abavua, had a position as one of those who would give over the words of Rafram to the gathered people. And he, Va'amar Talinan, and he said that the halacha is, you do attribute that it could have happened because of the handling of the butcher. Amruha, and the Bach changes the order of the words here. Amruha leha kamei demar zut rebreid of mori. So they said over what the distinguished Rav Avruha, who was Mereshe Kali of Rafram, what he had paskin talinon, veloi kibla, he did not accept it. Amr Rav Misharshe said, kavaseda avua da abba mistavra. He was the grandson, as we see in the fourth line, wide line of Rashi. Avua da abba, my grandfather, who is that? Rav Acha. Here we see that Rashi had the same gears as we saw before in the Masoreth Hashas, that the one who said Talinan was not Rav Adar bar Nosson, but it was Rav Acha bar Nosson. So the grandson now, Rav Misharshe, says that it makes sense like my grandfather, Rav Acha bar Nosson. Why? The Hatalina Bezeiv. Because the halacha is, as we learned before on Daf Tesamet Aleph, as Rashi brings down at the end of the fourth wide line, Bo Zeiv and Nautilus Nea Me'ayim, if after the Shechita a wolf came and took the intestines, Vechziron, and then he brought them back, Hashem the Kuvim, and we find now that there are holes in the B'nei Me'ayim, Ein Oimrim B'makam Nekev Nakav. We don't say that the wolf is the one who made punctures. Where did he make it? Not in new places, but he made it in the very same place as there was a nekev before the Shechita. We don't say that. What do we say? We're tola. We attribute that. How did these nekevim come now? They must have come from the action of the wolf as he took away the b'nei me'ayim. So just like we're tola in the case of a ze'ev, so too over here we'll be tola on the handling of the butcher, that it was caused after Shechita and it's kosher and not before Shechita, and which would render it treif. Continues the Gemara, Murna, which is a parasitic worm that comes out of the Reya. Pligibo Rabbi Yisrael Bar Desoy, Rabbanan. There's an argument between Rabbi Yisrael Bar Desoy and the Rabbanan. Chad Amar Kodem Shechita Parish. One of them says that this happened before the Shechita and it made a Nekev and therefore it is treif. V'chad Amar La'achar Shechita Parish. And one says that it happened after the Shechita, the Nekev of the parasitic worm, and therefore it is kosher. V'hilchasa, the halacha is La'achar Shechita Parish, that it happened after the Shechita. And the reason here is the same as the halachas before, because we have a rule which says that nishchita, once an animal has shchita, becheskes heter oimedes, it remains in a state of heter, that there was a kosher shchita, ad sheivadalach, until it becomes known to you by man nitrifo, that something made a treif. In other words, whenever you could be told, whenever you can attribute this nekev that it happened after the shechita, we say it's kosher. And therefore, by a ze'ev, which we just learned, a nekev will say it happened as a result of the ze'ev. If it's the butcher that may have caused it, it happened because of the butcher. Here, it's the worm. We'll say again, when does the worm leave the place of its sojourn? Only after that animal has died. It's looking, after death, it looks for a new live creature where it can bring its home to. While the animal is alive, has no reason to leave. So if it left, it made the nekev after the shechita and not before the shechita. So in all of these cases, we are always tola lekula. And so too, Rav Belsky explains that the shilas that we have on pulkas or wings of a chicken, we are all many times tola that it happened after the shechita through the handling of the chicken. It caused this bruise that we see in front of us, unless we see by the color, and these are shilas that have to be brought to a Moira Hira for someone to paskin, that perhaps the color indicates that it was a wound that happened before the Shechita. But if there is nothing to indicate that it happened before the Shechita, then again, we are tolit on something that happened after the Shechita. But of course, in all these shilas, a qualified Moira Hira should be consulted. Continues the Gemara. Explain the next part of the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Oimer Ad Shetinokev, that as far as the Reya goes, it does not become treif just by a nekev on the Reya, but it has to go, says Rav Shimon Ad Shetinokev, lebeis hasamponis. It has to go into the bronchular tubes. Omer Rabba Bar Tachlifa, Omer Rabbi Yudah Bar Abba. You know what this means? Ad Shetinokev lesimfon gadol. It has to go to the central bronchular tube in each section of the lung. Yosef Rav Acha Bar Abba Kamed Rav Hunna, V'Yosef Kamar, Amar Rav Meloich, Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, he said, Rav Meloich said in the name of Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Halacha Krep Shimon, Halacha Krep Shimon. When you say a halacha in the name of Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, it carries a lot of authority, because the halacha is always like Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, even against Rav Yochanan, we pass it like Rav Yeshua Ben Levi. So he was saying that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, and therefore, it'll only be treif if the nekev reached the central bronchular tube in each section of the lung, which is a tremendous kula. All the other shilas pertaining to the reya will be kosher. Amrulei, so when he heard this psak, he said, Meloich arvo kamrat. Are you speaking about the Rav Meloich from, who lives in Arabia? Ain alach Rav Shimon kamar. I heard him say that alach is not like Rav Shimon lekula, but rather we go lechumra, like the Tanakama, that any nekev in the reya makes a treif. Kisolik Rav Zeira, when Rav Zeira went up to Eretz Yisrael from Bovel, Ashkechel Rav Bibi, he found Rav Bibi, the Yosef HaKomer was sitting and he was saying the following halacha, Amar Rav Meloich, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, halach Rav Shimon, that halach is like Rav Shimon, Lekul, Amar Lei, so Rav Zeira said to him, Chaye de Me'ar, by the life of the master, the Ano, I, V'Rav Chiyah Bar Abba, and Rav Chiyah Bar Abba, V'Rav Asi and Rav Asi, Iklinen, we visited La Asri to the city, the locality, the Rav Meloich, we went to him. As Rav Belsky explains on the Dial of Dafshir, that this was one of perhaps the most important psak in all of Hilchos Treifos, because the most shilas in an animal are in the reya. That's why we do, of all the treifos, we do bedikas in the reya, because of the multiplicity of shilas that are involved in the reya. So by saying that Allah is like Rav Shimon, it's a tremendous kula, and it would take care of most of the shilas. There would be not many shilas concerning the reya to make a treif. So they thought it's such an important question, they should go visit Rav Meloich to find out exactly what he's posking. Va'amrilei, we said to Rav Meloich, Iomer Mar Allah Rav Shimon, did you do takase? Did you in fact say that Allah is like Rav Shimon Lekulav? Amrulani told us, Ain Allah Rav Shimon Amri. What I said is that Allah is not like Rav Shimon. And then, Va'at Ma Biyotcha, what is your Masar? Rashi says that this was a question that Rav Bibi asked to Rav Zeira. The Rabbeinu Gershon says just the opposite. It's what Rav Zeira asked to Rav Bibi. Amrulai, he responded, Hachi Amr Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Ami, Amr Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, again, quoting in the name of the great Poisik, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Halacha Rav Shimon, Halacha is like Rav Shimon Lekula. And the Gemara summation on those who codified the Gemara, the ain halacha k'Rav Shimon. The bottom line, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, and we, in fact, we paskin l'chumra, and that's why all the questions of the sirchas, the adhesions that pertain to the reya, all these are only questions because we don't paskin like Rav Shimon l'kula. We paskin like the Tanakhama l'chumra, and that's why the adhesions in many cases will make the animal treif, and they have to be checked carefully to make sure that, in fact, the animal is kosher, only because we do not paskin like Rav Shimon Lekula. We paskin that a nekev on the reya anywhere makes it treif. Continues the Gemara, explaining the next part of the Mishnah. Nikva ha-keva. If there was a nekev in the keva, it would make it treif. We now come to the fourth stomach of the animal. We mentioned before the keres and the basakosis, the hemsis. We're now speaking about the keva, which in fact is the only one of the stomachs that is written beferish in the Torah. it's a very chashuv stomach because it contains within it an enzyme which is used to make cheese. It was one of the matnas kohane when chulin was shechted. They would give the zroya, which is the upper front right leg, and the lechayayim, which is the lower jaw, cheek, and tongue, as well as this fourth stomach, the keva, the ebomasim, was given to the kohen. Amar of Yisrael Nachman, Amar of Aisha, chaylev, shagabi keva, the chaylev, the forbidden fats that are on the keva, which we'll learn about later in the shiur, and which specific fat on the keva we are describing that is going to become mutter, in the words of Rabbi Shmuel, will be seen in more detail in tomorrow's shiur. But meanwhile, let's just get the general picture here. Chaylev shal gabi keva, kohanim nogu by hetek Rabbi Shmuel. The kohanim are knowing a heter to eat that chaylev on that keva, as Rabbi Shmuel, shomar mishma voice, as Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his forefathers. V'simonech. Now, Tosis points out, it's not only Kohanim, even Yisraelim can eat this fat, but since we give the keva to the Kohanim, that's why Rabbi Yitzhak Nachmani said that Kohanim are noig by heter. The simonech, and how will you remember who said this halacha? The answer is Yishmol Kahani. Yishmol himself was a Kohen, Misayeya Kahani. He's always out to help his brethren. In all matters, we find that he tries to help the Kohanim. Here, too, he's helping the Kohanim by saying that they could eat this particular chaylev. Mayhi, as Tosis explains, from one time alone, you don't call him a Messiah Kohani. If you give him that title, Messiah Kohani, it means it must be something we find very often, that Rabbi Shmuel, or we find in other places that Rabbi Shmuel was Messiah. Where else do you find that Rabbi Shmuel used to help his brethren, his fellow Kohanim? The Sani will learn Nebraisa, Kois Dvorach has been Yisrael, that the Kohanim have a mitzvah to be Mevorach Klal Yisrael, Rav Shir Yishmol Oim, Rabbi Shmuel says, Lamanu Birchus Baruch Al Yisrael Mipi Kohanim. We find a Baruch that the Kohanim give to the Yisraelim. L'Kohanim Atzman Loi Lamanu. We don't find any Baruch that is given to the Kohanim themselves. They have to get a Baruch also, Kishir Oim, Ravani Avorachim. When Hashem says, I will bless them, who will I bless? I'll bless the Kohanim. Heavy Oimer, Kahanim Mavarchim Yisrael. The Kahanim give a bracha to the Yisrael. Vakadish Barachim Mavarchim Kahanim. And Akadish Barachim gives the bracha to the Kahanim. Rabbi Kiva Oimer. Rabbi Kiva learns it differently. Lamanu bracha li Yisrael v'pi Kahanim. We find that the Kahanim give a bracha to Yisrael. But m'pi Gvorah lo lamanu. We don't find that Hashem himself gives a bracha to Yisrael. Kishoim Rav Ani Avorachem. When it says, I will bless them, it's not like Rabbi Shmuel says, I will bless the Kahanim. Have Yoimer. I say the Pshat is, says Rabbi Kiva, Kahanim v'vorach li Yisrael. The Kahanim give a bracha to the Yisrael. Akadish Baruch Hu maskim al yodam. And Akadish Baruch Hu agrees when he hears the Kahanim giving the bracha. He says, I agree and I am also giving the bracha to the Yisrael, according to Rabbi Kiva. Now the Gemara wants to know, according to Rabbi Kiva, where do we find the bracha for the Kahanim, which Rabbi Shmuel used the pasuk v'ani avarchem, that Hashem blesses the Kahanim. El Rabbi Kiva, bracha l'Kahanim in Olei. How does he know the bracha to the Kahanim? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, a different place, we find by Avram, where Hashem said, Avarecha mivarchecha, I will give a bracha to those who bless you. And therefore, the Kohanim gives Yisrael a bracha. If you're giving Yisrael a bracha, then I, Hashem, will give a bracha to those who are giving a bracha to Yisrael. That's how we learn how Hashem gives a bracha to the Kohanim. Tosfos points out that this refers even to a goy. If a goy blesses the Jewish people, he will get a bracha. The greatest beneficiary of a bracha is not the one who receives it, but in fact the one who gives it, because he's going to get a bracha from Hashem, as was the case by Avram, that at his time there were only goyim in the world. So Hashem said, if those goyim give you Avram a bracha, I will bless them as well. And Tosfos brings a Yerushalmi, a Masechta Brachas. There was a goy who gave shalom to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel says, I don't have to answer you, because your answer is already found in the Torah, where the Torah says, Hashem will give a bracha to those who bless you. Tosfos points out that according to Rabbi Yishmael, what does he do with what Rabbi Kiva uses, v'ani avorchem, that Hashem's maskim to the bracha of the Kohanim, that Hashem also blesses Klal Yisrael? Says Tosfos, Rabbi Shmuel feels you don't need a pasuk for that. By the mere fact that Hashem was the metzaveh to the Kohanim, Kaisiv Orchus B'nai Yisrael, that itself indicates that if Hashem commanded them, it must be. He's maskim. You don't need a special pasuk for that. Continues the Gemara. Umay Mesayei Kahani. If it comes out that that both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel both hold that Hashem gives a bracha to the Kohanim. Rabbi Shmuel learns it from the very pasuk where Kohanim ben Yisrael v'ani avorchem. Rabbi Akiva uses a different pasuk, but the bottom line is Hashem is going to bless the Kohanim. In what way is Rabbi Shmuel more of a messiah to the Kohanim than Rabbi Akiva? The Gemara answers the mukila lebirchas Kohanim b'makom birchas bracha di Yisrael. In the very same pasuk, the very same place where the Yisraelim are receiving a bracha, that's the same pasuk and place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicates that he too will give a bracha to the Kohanim. So by saying Vani Avorchem goes on the Kohanim, Rabbi Shmuel is helping the Kohanim more. As Rashi, in the last Rashi on the Amid says, the Hachi Adifa, this is better. The Mashma Shem is Borchem Hain Imashar. It's no great thing to get a bracha by yourself. The greatest thing that you could do is to get a bracha together with everybody else. If the Kohanim are getting the bracha in the same pasuk where Klal Yisrael is getting the bracha as a part and parcel of Klal Yisrael, that is the best thing that you could do for Kohanim. So in this way, Rabbi Akiva is doing something more than Rabbi Shmuel is doing something more than Rabbi Akiva by giving the Kohanim a bracha in the same pasuk where Yisraelim are receiving a bracha. And that's how he is a messiah helping the Kohanim, his fellow brethren. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Sha'amar, Mishama voice of Maihi. Exactly what was it that Rabbi Shmuel said in the name of his forefathers that the Kohanim are noheg heter in the chalev that is on the keva? So before we get into the details of this Gemara, let us make a short hakdama. The Gemara now is going to discuss the Isser Chalev, which we find in Vayikra Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Hei. The Pasuk states, Ki kol oichel chalev min abahema asher yakrav mimenu ishe lashem, v'nichus ha-nefesh ha-echel esmei ha-meos. The Torah connects the Isser of Chalev, which is an Isser of Koras, to the fat that is brought from a behema on the Mizbeach in the Hakrava of Karbonos. Once Chalev is Usur, it is not only Chalev of Karbonos, but it is all Chalev, even of animals that are not Nikrav on the Mizbech. So this would include a shor, an isle, an aes, a ox, a sheep, and a goat, and a chaya, a deer that is permitted to be eaten, but it's not Nikrav on the Mizbech. So its Chalev is not prohibited. It is mutter. The pasuk continues vayikra peira gimel pasuk gimel the hikrav mizevach hashlamim ishel Hashem es hachelav hamachasa es hakerev ves kol hachelav asher ala kerev. The Torah tells us which of the fats are brought on the mizbeach in the case here of the shlamim, and as a result, which of these chalavim are prohibited to be eaten. And the Torah says two fats. One is called chelev hamechasa es hakerev. This is the sheet of fat covering the main stomach, the keres, the pouch, or also known as the rumen. And that's one kerev, innards, and also veskola chelev asher al hakerev. That's on the innards, and this refers to the fat that is on the hemses, which is the omasum, stomach, and the beis hakoses, the recticulum, which we've spoken about earlier in the shir. The keva is not mentioned, the fat that's on the keva is not mentioned, beferish, in the pasuk. If one wants to see the fats on the stomach, there is a very good picture in Sefer Tmunas Chayil, page 68. In 3.58b, we can see the Chelev HaMechasa Sakerev, which is the greater omentum, as it's known, and we can also see the Chelev Sha'ala Kerev, which is the lesser omentum. Now, we have in the Pasuk a extra vav from which we make a ribui. The pasuk says, and this is where we're going to pick up in the Gemara here, the sanya we learned in the Braisa, and the Masoras Hashatz puts in a vav based on Rashi in Hoirius on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. The Masoras Hashatz is an ois vav. V'es says Rashi, v'es hachelav vav yisera lahavi chelav shal gabi adakin. So Rabbi Shmuel is going to learn from that extra vav the chelev on the dakin, and we'll see what that is as we turn to Amud Beis. The sanya ve'es kol hachelev asher al hakerev, all the chelev that is on the innards. As we turn to the Mem Tes Amud Beis, lahavi chelev shal gabi adakin. This includes the fat that is on the inner, the small intestine. Now Rashi explains that it is not the entire small intestine, but rather it is the Resh Meya, and it's the first arm of the Resh Meya. The Resh Meya is the tube leading from the keva, and it's the beginning of the intestines, and it's called the duodenum, and one can see the Resh Meya again on page 68 in Sefer Tmunas Chayil in the picture 3.58b. And then in 3.58c, one is able to see how the chelev has been, the chelev hamachases hakerev has been removed, and one can see underneath that chelev the dakin, the small intestines. So the vav is moisif, that the chelev that's on the dakin, the duendum, the resh meye, it's only the first amma, which is usher of the dakin, in this case, is usher. However, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the keva, the chelev that's on the keva, on the fourth stomach, which we have not seen beferish yet in the pasuk, will not be usher, because the vav is not moisef the chelev on the keva, the vav is moisef the chelev on the resh mei of the dakin. However, and that's how Rashi points out, that's how Rabbi Shmuel's mesayeya to the kahanim, because he is allowing, enabling the kahanim to eat the chelev on the keva. However, Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva, Aymer lahavi chelev shal gabi akeva, that this extra vav is maisev the chelev on the keva. Now, Rashi here in Divrei HaMashal Krum v'Niklef tells us that both would be usher according to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva is saying, in addition, now, I agree with Rabbi Shmuel that the chelev shal gabi adakin are prohibited, but I will also prohibit the chelev that's on the keva. However, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, further in Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph, brings the Rashi there, Divrei HaMashal, Vizeo Chelev Shal HaDakin, where Rashi says that according to Rabbi Kiva, it's only the chelev of the keva that is usher, and not the chelev on the dakin. Rabbi Kiva Eger already is ma'orer that there seems to be a steer in Rashi's Ayin Shom. Now, we should point out, the top Rashi, that Rashi says the chelev on the dakin, which is usher, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and according to Rabbi Kiva, according to our Rashi here, Rashi says it is usher because it comes in contact with the chelev sha'al hakerev, that's the chelev that covers the innards, which are, as we spoke out before, the two stomachs, the hemsis and the base hakoisis, and therefore that vav is saying not only the chelev that's covering the sha'ala kerev of the hemsis and the base hakoisis, but also the resh mei, the beginning of the tube that is coming out of the keva and beginning the intestines. That first amma is also usher according to Rabbi Shmuel. And according to Rashi here, Rabbi Kiva agrees, but Rabbi Kiva is maisiv the chelev of the keva as well. Verimini, I'm going to ask you a kasha from a brisa where we're going to see just the opposite, that it's Rabbi Shmuel who prohibits the chelev on the keva, and it's Rabbi Kiva who permits the chelev on the keva. And here again, the Masar Shashas and Ois Aleph adds the vav, because that's going to be the main limit from the vav, ve'es, and he puts in the word kol, ve'es kol ha'chelev asher ala kerev, Rav Shimon Oimer, Rav Shimon says that since I have a vav, and the vav is connected to the beginning of the pasuk, is es ha'chelev ha'mechase es ha'kerev. That is the greater omentum, that is covering the pouch. So now that I have this vav to be marbe a chelev, it has to be comparable to what it is being added onto. What is it being added onto? The chelev hamachasa es hakerev. That's the beginning of the pasuk. Then I say ve'es hachelev sha'ala kerev. Then I'm adding the hemsis and the base hakoisis. But I have to, whatever I'm adding from that vav has to be comparable to what I started with, which is the chelev hamachasas hakerev. So I make the following comparison. Rav Shimon Oimer, ma chelev hamachasas hakerev. Just like the chelev that covers the kerev. it has two criteria, which are krum v'niklav, that it is covered with a fat. But that fat is covered with a membrane, that's the krum, and that krum is v'niklav. As Rashi says in Divrei Maskil, krum v'niklav me'al hachelev. It can be removed from the fat which it is covering. So af kol, you know which fat is usur, krum v'niklav, if it has a membrane. And that membrane can be removed from the fat. That is prohibited fat. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, we make a different comparison. Ma chelev hamachases akerev toisev krum v'niklav. Af kol, toisev krum v'niklav. You need a third criteria, and that is that not only does it have to have a membrane covering the fat, which can be removed from the fat, but the whole fat has to be a one sheet, not pieces, and it has to be not sticking to the flesh itself. It has to be like a garment that is covering it up, which can be easily removed because it's not sticking to the flesh. So what is Rabbi Shmuel Marbe with the krum v'niklav, and what is Rabbi Akiva Marbe with toisev krum v'niklav? And by the way, to see pictures of this, we could see it in Sefer Tumen Chol on page 72, picture 3.60, we see krum v'niklav. And at page 72, number 3.61ab, we could see toisev. We see over there the chelev hamachases hakerev, which is cut, and we could see how it's a drape that is like a garment draping over the flesh, but not stuck to the flesh. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Shmuel is marbe krum v'niklav, says Rashi, that he will be marbe Chelev in the Divrei Maskil af kol krum v'niklav, he'll be mar b'chelev shal gabi akeva. And Rashi says the kol shchein chelev shal al gabi adakin, and we can understand this kol shchein because chelev that's on the keva has only two of these properties. It has only krum v'niklav. It does not have the third criteria of toisev, that it's a garment, because it is little pieces and it sticks. It's not a garment, a drape that can be easily removed. It has to be scraped off. It's stuck hard onto the flesh. So if Rabbi Yishmael says that all you need is two criteria, which are krum v'niklav, so that will include even the keva, which doesn't have a drape, and it will certainly include the chelev that's on the dakin, that dudenum, which is the resh meye, because there the chelev is not only krum v'niklav, but it is toisev. It is a garment. So then it's certainly usser. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, the chelev on the dakin is usser, and even the chelev on the keva, which is not toisev, because all you need is krum v'niklav. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, the only thing that we're going to be marbe is the dakin, because that has all three criteria. But the chelev that's on the keva, it only has krum v'niklav. That's not enough to make it prohibited. That's not enough to make it be brought on the mizbeach. We learned before that with that chelev which is brought on the mizbeach, that's the chelev which the Torah prohibited. According to Rabbi Akiva, you need three criteria. The chelev shal keva does not have that third criteria of toisef, and therefore it's not brought on mizbeach, it's not usher. So it comes out that it's Rabbi Shmuel who prohibits the chelev on the keva, and it's Rabbi Akiva who permits the chelev on the keva, just the opposite of what we said before. Shalach Rav and Mishmei to Rabbi Yochanan, kachi atzor shal Mishnah. The correct way that we have to explain the Mishnah is according to the second Brisa that you brought. That's the real machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Shmuel prohibits the chelev on the keva and Rabbi Akiva permits the chelev on the keva. The epach kamaisa, the first Brisa which you brought to explain the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, that is incorrect. You have to switch it around. It's Rabbi Akiva who permits the chelev on the keva, it's Rabbi Shmuel who prohibits the chelev on the keva. Ask the Gemara, my chaz divcha maisa epech basraisa. Why are you changing the first one? Why not change the second one? The Gemara answers, shiny hocha, it's different in the second braisa. The kivin diktani ma dafka, since the second braisa explains the rationale of both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, we see that the second braisa was more careful to understand exactly what the thinking of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is. Therefore, that's the correct braisa. Ask the Gemara, based on your maskana, ihochi, why are we giving a big yashikar to Rabbi Shmuel? That he's the Messiah Kohanim, that he permitted the chel of the keva, and Rabbi Kiva was the one who prohibited it. It's just the opposite. Rabbi Kiva is the one who's helping the Kohanim. He's the one who permits the keva. By the way, there are different chalovim on the keva, and exactly what in which chelav on the keva there will be the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, that b'siyata d'shmaya we will see in the beginning of tomorrow's shir. So the Gemara's question is that Rabbi Kiva is the Messiah to the Kohanim. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Shamar Mishum Avoysev Leilos Rilei. No, of course Rabbi Shmuel himself, his shita was that the chelav on the keva is prohibited. However, he was Messiah to the Kohanim because he said over in the name of his forefathers that they permitted it, like the shita of Rabbi Kiva, and based on that knowledge, the Kohanim were noyeg to eat the chelav on the keva, even though personally Rabbi Shmuel did not adhere to that shita and held the chelav on the keva as usher, but yet he was Megali, revealed to the Kohanim that the Mesorah of his forefathers that it was permitted, like the shita of Rabbi Kiva, and based on that knowledge, they were makel to eat the chelav of the keva. In that way, he was Messiah to the Kohanim. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav, chelav tor seisim. Kosher chelav is able to close a nekef, tome, but if it is not kosher chelav, einoi soisim. It is not soisim. Toisus here, different maskel chelav tor, makes an important statement that when the Gemara says the chelav tor soisim, it doesn't mean any chelav tor, it means only the chelav tor of the organ itself. Only if it is its own shuman. However, for example, in the case of a lung, where there is shuman next to it, that's the shuman of the kana halev, the aorta, which is covered with fat, but that fat would not plug up a nekev. It would not adhere well to cover up a nekev because it's not the chelev of the Reya itself. It's adjacent to the chelav on the aorta. That chelav tor would not be soisim. Rav Sheshes says there's no difference between chelav tor and chelav tami. They are both soisim. Boy, Rav Zeh had a question. Chelav chayamai. What's the din with the chelav of a chaya? Dafko amr chelav tor soisim behind amr torahu. Did he say? Did Rav make a blanket statement? Any chelav tor soisim. This is also chelav of a tor animal. You can eat a chaya that's permitted to be eaten. A deer, for example, will its chelav be able to plug up the hole well? Oy dilma, no. Mishum de mahadik, v'haylo mahadik. The reason is because it has to adhere well, and in the case of a case of a chaya, the fact is it does not adhere well. Amr Abaya, said Abaya, when he heard this question, Mata Boyle, what kind of question is that? Nehe, the Shari Bachila, Enechanami, this is an animal. A deer, for example, is permitted to be eaten, but the fact is, you have to look at the fact. Even though it's a chelav of a tor, he's not making exeris akos of any chelav tor is mutter. It's based on a rationale because it adheres well. It plugs up the hole. The animal is not a trefa. Here, Ahudi Loimahadik. Here, in the case of a deer, the fact is that the fat does not cover it well, therefore the halacha is that it will not be soisim, the animal will be a trefa and not permitted to be eaten. Says the Gemara story, Ahu nek of the sas mechelav tamei. There was a hole that was plugged up with the chelav of a tamei animal. It was plugged up with chelav that was tamei. The asla kamei to Rava. This question came in front of Rava. Amar Rava said, Rava, lamai nechashal. What should we be worried about? Chada number one. The Amar Rav Sheshes said he argues, and Rav Sheshes disagrees with Rava and says chelav tamei nami soisim. That chelav tamei also could be soisim. Va'oid hatayra chasam amanim shav Yisrael. We learn out in Taras Kahanim from the halach of Mitzayra that the Taira was worried and cared about losing money of Kol Yisrael. And Rashi explains at length, how do we learn this out? The Taras Kahanim says, because the Kohen commands, when he's about to make the person of Metzayra, he says, Upanu es habayis. he's going to make the tsaras on the house. For example, he says, take out everything from the house before b'terem yavi akayin lirusus anega, so that the kalim that are in the house do not become tamei. So Rav Meir said, what are you worried about? If you're worried about the wooden kalim or his begadim or metal kalim, those can all be toiveled in a mikveh. So what are you so worried that the kalim should be taken out of the house? Because if the kohen pronounces that the house is tamei, then all the kalim will become tamei. We have an eitzah, so we can bring it to a mikveh. So it must be you're only worried about what? You're worried about the klicheris, which once they become tamei, the only solution is to break them. So we see that the Torah worried about even the loss of pottery, which is not worth much money, but the Torah didn't want it to become tamei, that the person would lose even his pottery. And who is the Torah worried about? A sinner, a metzora, where his sin came through tzoras ayin, as the Masoras HaShasir and Ois Tes says on Rashi, that sharei tzoras bo olav bavur shehu tzar ayin, as the Medrash says. He couldn't fagin yenim. He wasn't able to feel good about the fact that his friend has something which he doesn't have. So such a person the Torah is worried about. So we see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is worried about the loss even of a chote, like a metzora. Even he shouldn't lose how much, not much money in the form of pottery. So therefore, it comes out that Rava felt that even though, as we're soon going to see, we're speaking about an Issa Deraisa here, but this concept of Atayra Chasam Amanim Shal Yisrael should make us go in the way of Heter to be Mekel, that we should say that the Chayil of Tamei is Soisem, and it's not a treif animal, and you can eat this animal. Amalei Rav Papa Rava, so Rav Papa said to Rava, Rav! Don't forget, Rav says Chel of Tamei is not Soisim. And V'Isur Deraisa, we're talking about an Isur Deraisa, whether the animal is kosher or treif. V'at Amra Tatar Chasam Manu Shal Yisrael, you're speaking about money in the place of an Isur? Of course, in the place of an Isur. The Torah never said that it's worried about the loss of money. Sveika Deraisa L'chumer, you have to be Machmir. So the truth is that Rav, later in, we find in Shas, that he, of course, agreed to the Psak of Rav Papa, that we don't say the concept of Torah Chasam Amar Shal Yisrael in the place of a potential Issur Deraisa. The Gemara says another story in the same vein. Menuman, this was a person. Kanduka, as Rashi explains, is he was a pottery dealer. Iglilei Besitka Dedovshe, a pot of honey, he left it overnight. It wasn't covered up, and we have an issue of gilui when liquids are left open and a snake could, in a place of snakes, and they could put their poison, their venom into the liquid, and then it's usher because of sakana. The question was, did he have to worry that the snake went into the honey? Usher l'kamei d'Rava. Amar Rava. Rava said, l'may nechesha. What should we worry about it? Chadav, number one, that's not shleisha mashkim asur mishum gilui. There are only three liquids that a snake likes to eat from or drink from, and they are hayayin, wine, v'amayim, water, v'hacholav, and milk. V'sharkol ha-mashkim v'torim. All other mashkim are permitted. There's no problem of gilui. V'oid ha-tayra chasav ha-mayim shal Yisrael. So dvash, we don't have to worry about. There's only three mashkim that you have to worry about. And secondly, we have the concept that wherever we have a suffix, the Torah is worried about the money of Yisrael. Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Rav, Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds dvash, there is gilui, as we'll soon see. This sakonis nefashis, we're talking about not an isser here, chamira sakanta misura. A sakon is even worse than an isser. You talk about sakonis nefashis, and in the place of sakonis nefashis, va'at amr atar chasam amayim shi Yisrael, you're bringing up the concept that the Torah is worried about loss of money. Rav Belsky Shlita explains that what's the havamin of Rav? Of course, it's sakonis nefashis. The answer is, Rav felt that since there's a concept of a Torah chasam amanim shal Yisrael, therefore, based on that, the Torah would protect and make sure that there was no sakana over here. That was Rav's svar. So now, where do we find the Rav Shimon holds that dvash, there is a problem of gilui, of leaving it open, because of the snakes? Rav Shimon Mahi, the sign we learned in the Braisa, Tanakama holds, Chamish Ein Bem Mishum Gili. There are five liquids that there's no gili. And what are they? Tzir, fish brine, Chaimetz vinegar, Shemen oil, Dvash honey, Umurius, and fatty fish innards that are, they are made into a dip. Rav Shimon Oimer, Afhein Yesh Bem Mishum Gili. Rav Shimon disagrees, and he says, those five, there is also a problem about gili. Now, Tosis points out that the Tanakama doesn't hold only five, there's no gilui, and all other liquids are prohibited because of gilui. He holds like the Tanakama in the Braisa before, that all liquids are permitted. There's only three that are usher. The reason why he said that five don't have gili, because on these five, Reb Shimon disagrees and holds that there is a problem of gili, because Reb Shimon holds there are eight, not three. There are three plus five. These five that have a problem with gili. So on that, the Tanakhama says, no, your five that you say are usher because of gili, I hold are not. But in fact, all liquids I hold are not usher b'shem gili, like the Tanakhama of the Braisa before. There's only three that are usher because of gili. The Amar Reb Shimon, Ani Reisi Nach Sheshasa Tzir B'Tzidin, I saw in the city of Tzidin that a snake drank from fish brine. So you see that that there is a problem of gili. You see it's usher. Amru Loi, so they responded, Shat Yehava, that snake was a fool. A crazy snake. Ve'emavim raya mishaitim. You can't bring a raya from an abnormal snake. Most snakes will not go near fish brine. You don't have to worry about gili. Amar Lei. So Rava said to Rav Nachman to prove that honey was mutter, Oidli mias betzir. At least admit to me by fish brine that there is no problem. And once you'll admit to me by fish brine, I'll go a step further and say that who would then honey also. How do I know that fish brine is not a problem of gili? Dora Papa, Rafunabrad, Rav Shua, Rabbanan. Kehavalu gili, when they had a problem of, let's say, wine that was left open, how did they neutralize the potential poison of the wine? Shot it lebetzir. They put it into fish brine, and then that neutralized any poison that would be there. So if you use tzir to neutralize a liquid that had a potential of having a snake touch it, so that indicates that we don't have to worry about tzir, that a snake will come into tzir. Amrar lei. So Rav Nachman responded back to Rava, Oideli mia bedvash. You want me to admit by tzir? Maybe I would admit by tzir, but we're not talking about tzir. We're talking about dvash. And by honey, you have to go to my side, because I haven't. Not only do I have Reb Shimon, I have somebody else. Do Reb Shimon ben Elazar kaykava say? Because Reb Shimon ben Elazar also holds like Reb Shimon that honey is a problem of gili. This time we learned in the Braisa, Chena Yerub Shem Elazar, Oyster B'Dvash, he ushered in Dvash, and therefore I remain with my Psak, that Dvash, there is a problem of gili, because of Sakana, and we don't worry about Hatar Chasam Amman Shay Yisrael. Omrav Nachman, Chel of Oskar Kaiv, a certain fat that's made like a helmet, even though it's fat Tohar, it's kosher Shuman, Ein Asaisim, it does not plug up the Nekev, and the animal would be treif. Hecha, where do you find this fat? Amri La, they said, chute de karkisho. We're talking about the wheat-like modules of fat on the rectum, that if there was a hole there in the rectum, even though it's a chelef tohar, it will not be soysim. And it looks like a helmet, that fat, it's not soysim. V'amrulon sam say, tarpisho de liba. We're talking about the fat that surrounds the heart, which again is in the form of a helmet, that if there's a neck of in the heart, this fat will not be soysim, even though it's tohar fat. Omer Rava said, Rava, shamet made Rav Nachman tarte. I learned from Rav Nachman two dinim concerning chelef that's on the keva. There are two chelefs, and that's going to be tomorrow shir, exactly defining which these two chalavim are, and it'll be pertaining to the machlokes we had before between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And what are these two fats? Himtza ubar himtza. One is called himtza, and one is called bar himtza. We don't know what they are. We'll see in tomorrow's shir exactly which one is called himtza and which one is called bar himtza. Chad sasim, chad lo sasim. One covers, plugs up a hole, and there's no neck of, there's no trefa, and one is not able to adhere and plug up the hole correctly. Veloya dana haimina, I don't know which one. Is it himtza that is soysim? Is it bar himtza that soysim? I don't know. Rafuna Barchanina, Rafuna Breid, Rav Nachman Amr, they said, or it should be Amri, they said, bar himtza sasim. You know which one is sasim? It's the bar himtza that soysim. Himtza loy sasim, but the himtza itself is not soysim. Amr Rav Tovis, Visamanech, I'll give you a simon. We have a klal, which Rashi brings down, is Sach Teshuvah Mem Chesem Beis, that sometimes when a son has a taina, he's able to extract the property that he wants to get without a shvuah. Whereas if the father wants to do it, he'll need a shvuah. And on that, the Gemara there says in shvuah, Yafa koyach ben mikoyach av. Here we see a case where the son's power is stronger than the father's. Usually the father has more power than the son. Here it's in the reverse. So what the Gemara is trying to say is this is a way to remember which one is the kosher fat which plugs up the hole. It is the bar himtza. Bar himtza means the son of the chimtza. So the chimtza itself, the father, is not able to plug up. Mashenkin, the son, the bar himtza, is able to plug up the hole.